As you look at America, our country has suffered a variety of attacks. Some of them have been localized, some of them have been on a more national level. When we think about the family, though, this is perhaps one of the greatest attacks of all that America has suffered. You may remember that 9 years ago or thereabouts, on June 26, 2015, America suffered a great attack on the family. It was that day that same-sex marriage was legalized by the Supreme Court. No human authority has the right to legislate morality, but that's precisely what ours did. As we think about what's taking place in America, we have a lot of minds, especially young minds, being twisted or corrupted. And that's true for the family, but it's not surprising. In the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John said, "We know, we're assured, we have full confidence in the fact that we are of God." And then John said, the whole world lies in the evil one. That is, Satan is able to deceive people. The Bible tells us that he is a liar. One of Satan's great lies, part of Satan's great deceit, involves the family. Satan has convinced a number of people that God's plan for the family is a bad plan. Children, if they are taught to submit to their parents, as well as authority figures like the police, young people are told that is not the best way to live. In fact, when people today are taught the word submission, it is a word that is often associated with resistance. Don't submit to mom, dad, the police, or anyone else. If submission is mentioned in conjunction with being a wife, there are some people who really lose their cool. Now, even in some congregations, if this topic is addressed, there are some people who find it objectionable. When we think about submission in marriage, as far as the wife to the husband, we have, of course, as we think about submission to Christ, nobody looks at that as spiritual slavery. No one sees that, at least not generally speaking, as a bad thing. Because somehow, when it comes to marriage, people have the idea that if a wife is submissive to her husband, that means that a husband can treat his wife like a drill sergeant in the military. Submission has never meant that a wife or woman is some kind of slave. As you look at Scripture, you find that the Bible presents the husband and the wife as spiritual equals. There is mutual submission in marriage. When it comes to marriage, someone has to have a leading role in the house. I don't like to use personal illustrations, and this is one that I'm probably going to get in trouble for using a little later. But yesterday, Teresa and I were cleaning out a closet, and I had some plans for the top shelf. So I was going to fulfill my plans, and she said no. I didn't even ask why a no was associated with what I wanted to do. I simply took that for what it was and thought, okay, she's got a plan for the top shelf, and I'm going to, no pun intended, shelf my plan. So that's what happened. I still don't know how the top shelf is going to be used. But you know, as we think about submission in marriage, that does not mean that the wife's feelings and her desires are just stepped on. The husband needs to take those into account. When we think about a woman's submission in marriage, that means that she participates in the decision-making process. A godly wife is going to be involved with what goes on in the house. It is not, as we think about submission, something that is degrading. It does not lower her status as a wife, as a woman, or a Christian mom. God gave the arrangement for the house, but a lot of people are not willing to be satisfied with it and follow it. In fact, people have rearranged it in a lot of different ways. And a lot of times, people, as they look at the rearranging, if they were to look a little deeper, they would find that people who have been involved with this kind of thing, they have had an agenda that goes far beyond what they have described. At least some who sought for same-sex marriage, some who fought for same-sex marriage, had an agenda which they did not immediately publicize. And here's an illustration of it. One says, fighting for gay marriage, homosexual marriage, generally involves lying, not telling the truth, what we're going to do with a marriage when we get there. Because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change, and that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change, and again, I don't think it should exist. Now, that may not be the thinking of every single person who stands for same-sex marriage, but I'll tell you that this is some of the thinking by some of the people who were involved in that kind of thing. We now live in a time where there are people, a growing number of people in America, who are disgusted by God's plan for the family. Now, it would be one thing if people said, we don't like the plan, we hate the plan, we reject the plan, and they go on their merry way. That is, by and large, though, not what we find. We find people who are disgusted by God's plan for marriage, and then they want to impose that belief on the rest of our nation. God does not let us define family. He doesn't let us make up our own rules for it. In fact, back in Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. He creates the first home. God says to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That was God's plan. As we look at society, though, as we look at history, we find that people have not always been too excited or really enthused about following God's plan. Matthew chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, they said unto him, why then did Moses command to give a bill of divorcement and to put her away? That was their idea that, well, God created the home, but divorce is just fine. And they were arguing that Moses commanded divorce. Jesus responds in Matthew 19:8 by saying, Moses, for the hardness of your heart suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it hath not been so. People have redefined God's plan. They have tried to destroy it in all kinds of ways. And that is a real problem. People have gotten married and later they got divorced. Society has told them that that's the path to freedom. If you want happiness, if you want liberation, then just get a divorce. Those who have gone through that process, though, have often found that divorce was not as liberating as they were told. Divorce has not been the end game for a lot of people. It sounded easy. It sounded quick and convenient. It sounded like it was going to give them a new start. But as you look at people who've gotten divorced, oftentimes there's been bitterness, maybe hate, that has lingered for years. God knew that divorce would be a problem. He thus offered some legislation for it. God gave some disincentives for people to not separate because he knew what it can be, how harmful it can be to families. Yet as we look at our time, people think that they have a superior way to live. Well, if we go back and look at history, we find that we're not in unusual times. Other people have had some very interesting ideas about marriage. Here is some information, a quote from a Greek orator. He said, mistresses we keep for the sake of pleasure, concubines for the daily care of our persons, but wives to bear us legitimate children and to be faithful guardians of our household. Now, if you want to talk about toxic masculinity, that's what we hear about today. This is it. This is toxic masculinity. In addition to what we have in the slide, we have people who wanted out of a marriage, as we look at ancient times, and they just put the wife out of the house. You don't cook well, you don't whatever, you don't look as nice as you once did years ago, so we're done with you, just leave. We also, as we look at the ancient world, find that sexual fidelity was a problem in the ancient world. That's perhaps why it's addressed so common in the New Testament. We also, as we think about the New Testament, ancient culture, and even now, we find perversion mushrooming. There have been some people, and still are some people, who think that having children is a bad thing. If people have children, they're going to destroy the planet, therefore we should not have kids. Well, what's going to happen if we don't have any kids? Our planet, our society, our culture is going to collapse. Other people have said, well, when we have two men, two males, if they indeed can define what a man is, they should be allowed to adopt a baby. Or they propose the idea that two lesbians can be together and one of the lesbians can carry a baby. People have reached the point where they say, if we can't have a baby and we want a same-sex relationship, we'll just manufacture the children. Family either means something or it means nothing. In the Bible, it means something. Additionally, when we look at modern society, at least for some, it can mean almost anything. If we go back and look at Romans chapter 1, we find that this is not a new problem. Paul said, because of that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks. But people, he says, they became vain in their reasonings. He says they had a senseless heart. And that wicked, that senseless heart was darkened. They professed that they were wise, just like people today. But Paul says they actually became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. 25 through 27 of Romans 1, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. They burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves what recompense, or that recompense of their error which was due. And then 28 through 30. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. When you look at that, it sounds a good bit like modern America. If Paul was writing a letter today, he could have used some of the same language. In some respects, though, our nation is even worse. This information was directed to people who were Gentiles. These were people who did not have God's law, at least by and large. The law had been given to the Jewish people. These people did have some knowledge of God, and yet, even with that knowledge, Paul says they really went off the rails. Now, that wasn't an excuse for depravity, but it simply tells us that they had limited knowledge about God. What about America? What's our spiritual status? Do you know that it's estimated that there are 350,000 different religious groups, or we might say church buildings in America? 350,000. With that many religious groups, you would think that we would have a force, if from no other place, you would think that we would have a spiritual force from people who believe basically in God and at least the general principles of the Bible, the general tenets of the Bible, and they would stand up and say, this is right and this is wrong. That's not what we see. That's not what we have. We should have people from those religious groups saying that we need to have a strong family, a strong nuclear family in America. If you look around, and this should not be a secret to anyone who is here, if you look around, do you know what you see? Do you know what you find? Of those 350,000 groups, you find many of them, maybe not the majority, or perhaps the majority, I don't know for sure, but a lot of them have sided with the attacks that are being launched on the family. Religious workers, churches have decided that the way to reach the unchurched is to sink down to the same level. Let's do what the sinners are doing. That makes no sense whatsoever. Rather than raising the bar or rather than keeping the bar high, they say, let's see how far we can drop the bar. Or perhaps in some cases, let's take the bar away entirely. There are religious groups which actually advertise LGBTQ friendly. What are people thinking? Well, they're not thinking according to Scripture. There are religious groups and people who say something like this. Conversion to Christ, and the Bible certainly teaches that, conversion to Christ does not indeed, it cannot change a person's sexual orientation. Now you say, well, I don't know of any religious group that teaches that. You might not, but there are plenty that do. When you have someone who teaches that kind of thing, it is in direct conflict with passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul said to the Corinthians, who had been involved in some of the same stuff that's going on right now in America, and such were, past tense, some of you, but you were washed, but you were changed, but you were transformed. This is not the only time that we find this message in the New Testament, Romans 12, 2. Paul says, and don't be fashioned according to the world. Don't do what the unsaved are doing. But be ye transformed, be ye changed, alter your mind. How do you do that, Paul? He says you renew your mind. And if you do that, you will prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Rather than transforming the minds of the sinners, a lot of religious groups have their people transforming their minds to what's sinful and wrong. If you look around, and again, you don't have to be a scholar to find this information, you'll find that there are religious groups and religious people who use words like, our church is an affirming religious group. We embrace, and then perhaps they list some of the things that we've been talking about. Or they would say, we acknowledge. And then you might find some who say, we have gay, quote-unquote, Christians here. Sexual sin, depravity, perversion has been sanitized by more than a few religious groups. Paul was dealing with some of the same stuff in his day. He told the Ephesians this. He says, Ephesians 4, 22 and 23, that you put away. As concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxes corrupt after the lust of deceit, he said, you're done with that. You say no to that. That's part of the past. And then in 23, he comes back to this idea of transformation, that ye may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Acts 17:30 says that all people everywhere need to repent. God says you're not fine as you are. The things that you're doing, there has to be a change. The principle is so important, we also see it back in the Old Testament. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except or unless Jehovah builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Except Jehovah keeps the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. If men want things to prosper, and I think that's probably true for most people, they need to do things as the Bible describes. A lot of the chaos that we have in our world right now, a lot of the chaos that it looks like we're going to face in the future, simply goes back to rejecting God and His Word, and that includes His plan for the family. I don't know how much TV you watch, but if you check out some of the programming on TV, you will find that what we would refer to as the nuclear family, the traditional family, the biblical description for family, it's mocked. It's scorned. That's not what you see on TV. People have tried to convince folks that there are all kinds of new and alternative definitions for family. Movies do the same thing in many cases. And you also find that on social media. We've been led to believe, or we've been told, perhaps we haven't come to that conclusion yet, that alternative families are happy, alternative families are healthy, and most important, alternative families are normal. That's the message from the world. In the Bible, you find that family comes before civil government. In our time, though, it looks like for many, they want to take family, civil government, and say it is first civil government and what it says about family, and then we'll define family from there. One might wonder why there is so much focus on attacking the family. Why would not perhaps just New Testament Christianity be something that is derided and people are slighted for, but why would people be so interested in attacking the family? If you've never considered that question, you can go back and do a little reading as far as history and uncover some things like the Communist Manifesto. Here are two quotes. Here's page one. Special lectures were organized in schools and literature printed and distributed to instruct children about free love, about the nature of sexual intercourse, about the archaic nature of family codes. Continuing. About the outdatedness of monogamy and the irrelevance of religion, which deprives man of all pleasure. Children urged thus to reject and deride paternal authority and the authority of the church, and to ignore precepts of morality. You see, the people who are influential and they want to destroy the family, they know that they may not be able to wipe out religion, but if they can destroy the family, if they can undo what God says about the family, then that will flow down to religion. So it's sort of the back door to destroying morality in the church. The quotes I just read for you go back to the 1900s, about 100 years ago, and associated with Hungary. There were some people, some parents, who saw this kind of stuff happening. They didn't like it. They stood up, they resisted, and they were able to stop it. And maybe in our time, we can do the same. Hopefully there will be people who get their thinking caps on, and they will say, we see where things are going. This is not good. This is not right. And we need to stop the destruction of the family. It's going to be a challenge. As you look at our educational institutions, we have people who are professors, we have people who are teachers, and they believe this stuff. They're teaching the kinds of things that folks heard about 70 years ago in regards to feminism. We also have people in all positions of civil government who believe, even though they may not fully understand what they believe, but they believe in the destruction of the nuclear family. Those interested in attacking the home, those who are attacking the home, and God's plan for men and women are ready for war. When people stand up, let's just look at it this way. Do you recognize some of these words on the screen? All in and phobia. Why would you do that? Why would you come up with special words which all express the idea of fear? When it comes to securing our borders, when it comes to opposing same-sex marriage, when it comes to things like no males in female spaces, if you're going to respond to that, it's not enough anymore just to say we disagree with you. But no, they've tried to offer a medical twist on this and say you are someone who has a phobia. You are someone who is sick. You are someone who has the problem. You're the person who is deranged. You are the person who is off your rocker. You are the person who has a mental disorder. If you really boil things down, this is what we're looking at. Marxism, and that's really what we're encountering right now, could be defined as a system in which the insane tyrants rule and sane objectors are locked up for their health. Now, if we're not there yet, folks, we're on that road. That's the place where we're headed. We have many minds which are just like Paul and his description of 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. Through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. He says they are branded in their conscience as with a hot iron. We have people right now that we can speak to, and perhaps you have, and they simply will not listen. They have adopted a view when it comes to God and the family, and their mind is closed. No matter what you say, no matter what someone else says, no matter the arguments that you offer, the person simply cannot hear. We, if we're Christians, have to accept the fact that there are going to be some people who will never listen to us. They are just so far gone, they cannot be reached. Even if some will not hear, we will find some who will be willing to hear and listen and turn. As Christians, we've never had the right to run, hide, or keep quiet. And that is especially true for now. We need, as Christians, to be willing to talk about God, be willing to talk about His Word, and that includes talk about the family. If we are a female, we need to know who and what we are. We are a woman. And with that knowledge, be a woman of God. If we're a man, a male, we need to know who and what we are. That is a male, not a female. And be a man of God. We need to teach our girls what it means to be not only a woman, but a Christian woman. And we need to teach our young men that they are males, they are not women, and that these are the responsibilities that come from being a Christian man. Being a faithful Christian has never depended on living in a society where people are friendly to the faith. Now, it's nice if we can have that. It's a great thing if we can enjoy that blessing. But we've got to face the fact that in many places that is no longer something that Christians are going to have. We've got to be faithful to God in every way, and that includes His plan for the family. Are we willing to do that today, tomorrow, and every day that we have on this earth? That's God's will for us. Let's make sure that we follow it.